You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
How is everyone? Good. Oh, I'm pleased to hear that. As Rick just said, we're going to do the next 4 weeks looking at another of the practices in Practicing the Way, and this one is solitude. Now, at this point, I wonder if all the introverts in the room have just sat up a little bit straighter and gone, oh, yes, I can get on board with this one. And all the extroverts are going, oh, really? Really? Doesn't it literally say in the Bible that it's not good for man to be alone? Well, yes, exactly that. And I believe that that is why solitude is important. That probably makes absolutely no sense right now, but bear with me. I'm going to try and convince you that it's because it's not good for man to be alone that we really need solitude. So we're going to look at why we need solitude, how solitude helps, and then what it can actually look like. So at the end of this morning, we're going to get really practical with some ideas of what solitude can look like as a practice for us. So it's because it's not good for man to be alone that we need solitude. When we read about the creation of the world in Genesis, we see God making everything from nothing. He makes the sea and the sky and the plants and the animals, and every time God says, it's good. It's good, it's good, it's good. And then he makes man and he says it's really good. And the first time that we hear God say that something is not good is when he says it's not good for man to be alone. And I think the reason for that is revealed just before God makes man. When God says, let us make man in our image. God doesn't say, let me make man in my image. He says, let us make man in our image. And we see something for the first time about the relational nature of God. We see something about the fact that God is not, well, God is one, but he's also plural. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they have this amazing, beautiful relationship between the Trinity, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we are made in that image. If we're made in the image of a relational God, then we too are relational. And because we're relational, we really need relationship. We really need connection. And it's not about just having friends or about having people around us. It's about having a real, authentic connection and relationship. I don't know if you've come across a lady called Brené Brown. She's written some great books and done some great talks, but she talks about connection and relationship. And this is just a quote from her that I found helpful. She said, being around people is not the same as feeling connected to people. Real connection, the kind that makes us feel seen, heard, and like we belong, doesn't happen just because we share space with someone. It happens when we share ourselves with someone. She said, loneliness isn't just the absence of people, it's the absence of being truly seen. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes that idea of being truly seen can feel a bit scary. It can feel a bit vulnerable, because if I'm truly seen, then I'm seen with all my flaws, all my faults, all my fears and failures, and all the messy bits that I don't really like the rest of the world to see. But if I'm truly seen with all that mess, I can be loved in the most amazing way. And the greatest fulfillment of our need for relationship is found in the God who knows us better than anybody else and chooses to love us anyway. In Jesus, we are fully seen and wholly loved because Jesus chose to go to the cross for us while we were still sinners, right? Knowing how messy we are, knowing all our flaws and our faults, Jesus went to the cross to make a way that we could have a relationship with him. It's a massive sacrifice. It's a sacrificial love. And Jesus chose it because he wants that relationship with us. Now, the bit that's on us is that we have to accept that invitation. Jesus has made a way that we can be in relationship with him, but we have to accept it. We have to do something about it. And there might actually be some of us here that have never done that. And if that's you and you're going, actually, yeah, I want that kind of relationship where I'm fully known and fully loved. I want that relationship with God. If you're thinking that for the first time, I'd really encourage you to chat with a Christian that you know and trust. And I'm sure they'll be delighted to pray with you and to help you begin that journey. Some of us have already made that decision. We've already accepted that invitation, and we've been on a journey of relationship with God for a while, and we've learned that actually it can get a bit messy. it can get a bit complicated, and sometimes we can feel really close to God, and sometimes we can feel a bit further from him. And none of that's on God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is always faithful. But we are human, and we can make that relationship a bit messy and a bit complicated. And that's why we need a tool to help us. That's why solitude can be really helpful as a tool to help us invest in that relationship with God. I think that sense of messiness and complication is, I imagine, something that's familiar to all of us. If you're feeling at the moment that actually I've been really close to God at times and now I'm feeling a bit far from him, please know that you're not alone. It's something that we all experience, and it's why as a church and as a community we can gather and support each other and encourage each other. But it's why we also have these tools that we can learn together to invest in our relationship with God, and solitude is one of those. We're going to have a think about how solitude actually helps us as a tool to invest in that relationship. And I believe the really big reason that we need it is, as I've said, because we really need that relationship. We need that fulfillment of our need for relationship in our friendship with God. But distraction gets in the way so much. Solitude is important because distraction is so destructive to relationships. I don't know if you've ever been out for a coffee or a meal with friends and looked around the cafe or the restaurant and seen some people who are all there together to spend time with each other, and they're just sat on their phones. And everybody's just sat there scrolling, answering an email, liking something on Instagram, whatever they're doing. And it's been me at times. I'm sure it's been many of us as well. We're there to hang out with the people that we've come with, but actually we're distracted by this little device in our pocket. We might be doing something really important. I don't know. Distraction can sometimes be something important or something good. One of the things I am most distracted by at the moment is my son. He's definitely a good thing. But he's really distracting. If I try and spend time with another toddler mum, there's nothing more ridiculous than two toddler mums going to the park and expecting to have a conversation. Because you end up with one of you over here policing the turn-taking on the slide, one of you over here pushing the swings, and if there's a third one, maybe they're over there, I don't know, wiping a scraped knee or something like that. With one of my friends, we've come up with a strategy recently where we take our boys out on a play date half an hour away and we share lifts. So we go in the car together, and in the car, we have half an hour to talk to each other. And then we do the play date and we're off on the opposite sides of the park doing whatever we're doing. And then we get back in the car. And if we're really lucky, they fall asleep. And then we might get an hour to talk to each other. Solitude is important because distraction is destructive. And I'm not saying that those distractions are bad things in and of themselves, but when we're trying to invest in a relationship, distraction can be really destructive. And it's why we see Jesus time and time and time again in the Gospels retreating. He's doing really good things. Jesus is distracted by really good and important things, but time and time again, he intentionally takes himself away to somewhere where there are no distractions, where he can be with God, where he can be intentional and just spend that time with God. The challenge for us, another challenge for us, is that even when we're intentional about creating that time, we might even be really organized and put it in our diary and say, I'm going to have some time with God at this point in the day. But we can still end up filling that time with things that don't really aid our relationship with God. And solitude is about stripping all of that away. It's about creating space, time and space, so that we can really invest in quality time, in one-on-one time with God, with no agenda. So to help us think about some of the challenges for this, I want to do a bit of an exercise. I've planned a date night with Tim, my wonderful husband Tim over here. We try and have a date night every week, and I've planned our date night for Thursday, and I want you guys to help me. I want you to give me a score out of 10 on how good you think it is. Do you think you can help me with that? Okay, so this is all about investing in our marriage, investing in my relationship with Tim. This is my plan for this week's date night. Are you ready? Okay. the first thing that is going to happen is I'm going to put on some music that reminds me of Tim. Okay, I'm going to listen to some music that reminds me of him. I might even sing along to it. And then I found a book that somebody's written about him. So I'm going to sit and read this book. I probably won't have time to read the whole book, but I'll read a little bit of the book that somebody's written about Tim, and I'll learn more about him. And then, I mean, I don't know if any of you know this, but Tim's written a book. Okay, so then I'm going to get out the book that he wrote, and I'm going to study a bit of that. Again, I probably won't have time to read all of it, but I'll read some of his book. And I might even get some highlighters out. I'll highlight the bits that really stand out to me. I might get some pens and do some doodling in it. And then what I might do, if it looks really impressive, I might put a plant by it and a cup of tea and take a photo and post it on Instagram. And then, you know, it's a date night, so I probably ought to talk to Tim. So at this point, having done the music and reading about him and reading some of his book, I might then go and find him. And I've got a big list of all the things that would be really helpful for him to do for me right now. So I'm going to go to him and I'm going to say, can you please do this and this and this and this and this, all these things I want him to do. And yeah, that's it. That's the plan for the date night. Can you give me, with your fingers, a score out of 10? 10 being best date night ever, you're going to have an amazing time, and 1 being requires improvement. I mean, somebody's giving me a 10 over here. Tim's going, oh, this sounds great. I might get an evening to myself. Do you notice there's something missing? Right? These are all good things. It's really good to understand each other better. It's good to be reminded of each other. It's good to study. It's good to communicate our needs with each other. But there's something really key missing here in actually investing in our relationship. The best kind of relational time that I have with the people I love is when we can just be, when there's no agenda and I'm not trying to achieve anything or learn anything or do anything specific, but we can just put the agendas and the pressure away and just be together. Tim and Caleb and I went camping recently, and in the evenings, after Caleb had finally gone to sleep, we had no phone signal, no Wi-Fi, no power, none of that, and so we made a hot chocolate. And we just sat under the stars. And for some of that time, we chatted to each other, we laughed, we had some great conversation. And for some of that time, we just sat and we just watched the stars and drank hot chocolate and we just enjoyed each other's company. And it's really beautiful, that kind of time when actually there's just no pressure to even talk. And we can have that with God. We can have that time with God when we can just enjoy each other's company, knowing that he's with us and we're with him. And that might involve conversation, but it might involve just being. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We don't have to achieve anything in our time with God. We can just come and rest and be with him. There's part of my brain when I hear that that goes, whoa, I'm not sure I can do that. I can't just be. Because my brain will go, okay, I need to write a shopping list for next week. Somebody's got a birthday and I need to think about what I'm going to buy for them. What's my plan for tomorrow morning? I need to figure out the routine. I've got all these things going around my head that I really struggle to put away. And the idea of just sitting and being with God can sound really scary and really unachievable. And so what we're going to do just for the next few minutes is get really practical. And I want to be really clear, this is not to give us a list of things to achieve. This isn't to give us an agenda, but I'm hoping that in having some ideas about what solitude can look like, it will feel a little bit more attainable for us. It will feel a bit more doable. And so we're just going to think about really practically, what can solitude look like? How might this work for us? The first idea that I want to encourage us to try, even if it sounds really not doable, give it a go, even if it lasts for 10 seconds, is that first one of literally just be with God, even if it is literally only 10 seconds. Just spend that time going, I know that God is here with me, and I'm choosing to be with him and be aware of his presence with me. And I don't even have to talk. I don't have to do anything. I just know that he's here. if you find after 10 seconds or 3 seconds, or if you're amazing, maybe a minute, that your mind starts to wander, I'd encourage you to share that with God. If you start to think about your shopping list, tell God about it. Does it sound crazy that God is interested in your shopping list? But genuinely, I believe that God really is interested in the detail of our lives. And it's not that we need to ask him what to write on it. I mean, he might help with that. But he's interested. He wants to know what's going on for us. He wants us to bring the detail and the everyday to him. And we can share those mind wanderings with him. You can even sit there with God and go, oh, God, I'm just really struggling to focus. You could tell him about that and share those kind of thoughts with him. For some of us, it might help to do some of those date night things with God first. If we spend some time in worship or read a book or read scripture, it might actually make it a bit easier when we come to that time of just being with God to give us something to focus our mind on or to chat with him about. And if that still feels like, oh, Lorna, I just don't know, I'm not sure I can do that, my mind is still going to wander and I'm going to get distracted by all the things, we're going to have a go in a moment at just like some conversational prayer, and I want to help you guys to just have a go at this morning, and I'm hoping that it might just make it feel a little bit more achievable to have a chat with God in the week, knowing that it doesn't have to be anything special, it doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to be anything special, but we can just chat with God. And I know we're not in that place of solitude right now because we're all surrounded by each other. But if you feel like you're able to join in with this, I'd really encourage you to. And I'm just going to give us some prompts of things I'd love for you to say to God and then to ask God this morning. And you can do that just in your own mind. It might help to close your eyes, find a different space if that helps you. But let's just have a go at chatting to God. The first thing I want you to do is to tell God what you had for breakfast this morning. I'm hoping we can all do that, or that you didn't have anything at all. And then tell God about something in the last couple of days that's made you smile. And tell God about something in the last couple of days that's made you feel frustrated. Tell God about something you're grateful for. And tell God about something you're hoping for. I'm going to encourage us in a moment to ask God some questions, and you might not get an audible answer. You might not get an answer in words. It might be a memory or a picture or a feeling, or it might come later in the day or the week, or there might be nothing at all, and that's absolutely fine as well. But I would encourage you to ask anyway. I'd like you to ask God about something that's happened in your life in the last couple of days that's made him smile. And then ask God about something that's happened in your life recently that's saddened him. Finally, ask God about something that he loves about you. there are more things that you want to say to God or ask him, I'd encourage you to stay in that place. But our living verse this week is Psalm 63, verse 1. It says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." We need God. We need that real, authentic, all-knowing, all-loving relationship with him. And God knows that we need him. He knows that we need him. And there's nothing he wants more than for us to come to him. It's why he went to the cross. It's why he made that sacrifice, because he wants to have that relationship with us. He comes openly inviting us into that friendship, into that relationship. In Revelation, we hear Jesus say, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." I would love for us in the next few days to invest in that relationship with God, to find some time intentionally to be with him, to hang out with God, to just be and enjoy his presence, knowing that he knows us completely and loves us fully, and nothing we can say or do will ever change that. We're going to move into a time of communion and worship now. I'd encourage you, if you're having a chat with God, to continue in that or do whatever's going to help you to meet with him or to respond. But Father God, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that in all of our failings and flaws, you love us completely. Thank you that you are the greatest fulfillment there is of our need for connection and relationship. Thank you that you designed us to be relationally like you. And I pray that you would help us to find that in our relationship with you. Amen.